Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast for Tuesday, October 30th, 2018. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm up awfully early, as are all of us, I think, this morning. ask me in about an hour, and I'll have a better answer for you. Well, it'll certainly be more accurate. Also with me this morning, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
I am sort of good, considering I got up very early, but not as early as you did.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm keeping Jeff Gamet's hours today, and I don't recommend it, West Coast. it's rough. So what I wanted to do, in what will come as a surprise to approximately no one from a show that covers the news of the day, we're going to cover the show that just, the event that just wrapped up in Brooklyn from Apple, and they introduced some new stuff. So we are going to talk about all of the new things that Apple just announced at their event, and we're going to do it basically in order of how Apple did it. So Apple started out by giving us the new MacBook Air. John, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is sort of a second generation MacBook Air. I expected it to be called the MacBook Air 2, but that's not how Apple does things. It's the 2018 MacBook Air. It has the USB-C ports. It has a Retina display. It has a modern 8th generation Core i5 processor. So as Tim Cook said, I think it was Tim who said they enhanced the MacBook Air, highly beloved computer, in ways that people thought were important and that turned MacBook Air owners on, namely the Retina display, the more powerful processor, and I don't know about the USB-C ports, but I guess that's where we're going, and other companies have decided that maybe for the sake of compatibility, there would be maybe one USB-A port, so you wouldn't have to have so many dongles in an emergency, but that's not where Apple's going. So,
Apple's had the USB-C only machine. It wasn't a MacBook Air, but they've had a USB-C only machine for a while now. There's a couple of models that are only USB-C.
One of those. The first 2015 MacBook. Yeah.
Right. So it's not completely unheard of for Apple to have an all USB-C machine, first of all. They did add the Retina display. They've beefed up the processor. I don't recall what the storage was, but it's the same all flash. I mean, everything is that now in the Apple portable lineup.
And a half.
Okay. Yeah. So, and, you know, the point of the MacBook Air when it came out was that it was all flash. You know, there were no moving parts. There wasn't a spinning hard drive. You know, it was SSD, which was a new weird thing when that machine was announced. I remember I actually got to attend the Steve Note that where the MacBook Air made its debut.
I think I was there, too.
When he mentioned the taking it out of the manila envelope, I was there for that.
I got a screenshot of that for you, Kelly.
Oh, yay. Like, it's interesting to me to see how this computer has sort of evolved. Like, I still feel like here's what I think, and I want to ask both of you about this. When it made its debut, what I saw in it was that it was going to be a great satellite machine, an ancillary Mac, an auxiliary computer. It was going to be the thing that you took with you on an occasional trip, but for most people, wasn't going to be a daily driver. You have a Mac at home, you know, you have an iMac at home, or at that point, you know, you had a Tower or a Mini. We'll talk about those in a minute. You had some other computer that was like your real machine. And then this is the one that like fits in your backpack that you can take with you because it's got awesome battery life. And if all you need to do is take notes at a conference or something like that, you know, you've got this super great little portable machine. And that was sort of the function that it served. It wasn't most people's main computer because it wasn't the highest powered machine even then. And I'm wondering, and Andrew, I want to ask you first, I'm wondering if you feel like that's still where this laptop fits into Apple's lineup for people.
Well, I was actually thinking something similar the other day where, you know, back in the day, Apple had position the Mac as the hub for all of your accessories. Mm-hmm. But I think now iCloud is the hub. And so I think you can have a MacBook Air where it is your main device. Mm-hmm. So I think that fits into what they've been doing lately.
Okay, so John, how about you?
I think the MacBook Air has transformed itself from what you originally described to a workhorse computer for a lot of people. Writers and teachers and maybe not developers, but other mm-hmm. people who need a portable computer that is reasonably priced and can do the job for them in more than just a make-do, you know, sit on the airplane, write notes thing. But it's an all-around computer. My wife has been using one for her classwork for years now, and it's a workhorse, mm-hmm. especially with an SSD. I remember the first MacBook Air, when it first came out, had a option that I there was a 80 gigabyte hard disk or 64 mm-hmm. gigabyte SSD.
Yeah,
and it was really limited in storage, and it was limited in its ports. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a cramped machine, but it has evolved beautifully. What gives me a little bit of heartburn about it, the MacBook Air, is that it's supposedly Apple's least expensive computer, and there's an issue going on with college students being able to afford a $1,200 computer for openers.
Now, how does this stack up against MacBook pricing? Like, straight up MacBook, not Air, not Pro.
Yeah, I was just looking at that.
Because I want to say that the MacBook comes in cheaper, but I could be wrong about that, because this one starts at $1,199, right? The new Air is $1,199.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm looking at the MacBook
when the
pricing.
MacBook was first launched, I think it was also $1,199.
I think so.
Maybe they lowered it to, I don't know, maybe $1,099 after.
Is the baseline Mac 12-inch MacBook is $1,299.
Okay.
Which is kind
so
of
so what happened to the $999 laptop? Did I
yeah, poof.
Has it gone the way of the dodo? Like, is that what happened?
Well, it's an issue of going upscale or whether you're going downscale, and Apple always chooses the high road. And
right, but I remember there being
that's not unexpected.
Like in 2018, I remember there being laptops in an Apple store with a 3-digit price tag. So yeah. That's what I'm trying to get to. Yeah. Is I thought that was a thing, and so.
Even with an educational discount, you're looking at $1,100
yeah.
for a base model.
So,
yeah.
Andrew, when you look at this machine, how do you think it fits in the lineup?
Well, it seems to me with this new MacBook Air, I get the feeling that they're positioning all the MacBooks, even the Air, as like pro devices. Mm-hmm. And then for everyone else, they're positioning the iPad and iPad Pro as your computer.
Mm-hmm.
So that just seems to me that's the direction they're heading. The iPad is the computer for everyone, and the, mm-hmm. all the MacBooks are just pro computers.
Which is exactly what I sort of thought in looking at the modifications to the Air, how it's been upgraded, and looking at the Mini and looking at the new iPad. We're going to talk about all this in a minute. The thing that struck me is that I feel like the old place the MacBook Air had as like this is most people's auxiliary machine, but a lot of people, you know, who have really lightweight computing needs could get away with just an iPad as their main computer, or as a MacBook Air as their main computer. That's what the iPad does now. And yeah. I see a flaw in that reasoning, but we'll get to that when we talk about iPads. So what this makes me wonder is what the 12-inch MacBook's future is in Apple's lineup.
That's a great question. I've been wondering that myself.
Like, are they just going to press release upgrade it, and now it gets a Retina screen too, and then at least all the portables are Retina? Because the 12-inch isn't Retina, is it?
Yes, it is.
I don't remember. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It is Retina.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
It is.
Okay. Yeah. So, the 12-inch seems, especially now that they've upgraded the Air, it seems like an odd size to me. and an odd model out. Eventually, I assume it's going to end up out, but I don't think we're ever going to hear about that. I think just someday somebody's going to go load up the Apple Store page and it's just not going to be there anymore.
It's like there's two groups and they're leapfrogging each other. You know, first you had the original MacBook Air, not original, but the 2011, 12, 13 MacBook Air, and then 2015 the MacBook came out with advanced technology, USB-C ports and a Retina display and a new kind of keyboard, which I love, by the way, but a lot of people don't, I know. And then we have the new 2018 MacBook Air, which seems with a bigger screen and less, and that's not so cramped anymore. The 12, compared to the 12 inch, the 12 inch seems a little smaller. So 13.3 is really nice. And now the question is the 12 inch MacBook going to go away or is it going to leapfrog again?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Let's talk about the next upgrade because this may be the way a lot of people go, and that is the new Mac Mini, because that was very exciting. I think they made a bigger deal out of it being space gray than they needed to. But then, you know, people were super excited about just being able to get a space gray keyboard and trackpad. So maybe it's just because I'm immune to space gray fever that I wasn't as excited about that as I felt like I should have been. At the risk of sounding like a hot take, I feel like this huge upgrade, this super duper upgrade that they did to this machine should have come a couple of years ago, and that we should be getting the second major iteration of the Mini now. I have a soft spot for the Mini. There are two in my house. I love them so much, and I feel like it's such a great machine because it does all the stuff that Steve talked about when the Mini made its debut. Like, it's a good switch machine. You know, it's inexpensive if you just sort of need a computer that hangs around in your house. This is a great way to do it. It was super budget friendly at the time because it started at like $400 or $500, which at the time was super budget friendly for a full on computer, let alone a Mac. And it had loads of ports on the back. You could hook whatever monitor you wanted to it. It had a bunch of USB ports, had HDMI, you know, in one of the iterations. So it had a lot of flexibility, and it was sort of the computer you could have just kind of hang out on your network and do whatever stuff it was you needed to do. You know, I know lots of people who have them for various sorts of network happenings, you know, on their own personal networks at home. So, Andrew, what do you think of the new Mini?
I'm kind of like you, where I was just a little bit disappointed. This guy made a big deal of, you know, oh, it has four processors, but no, wait, now it has six. But I think it's had four CPU cores for a while, hasn't it?
I want to say yes.
Yeah, it was one of the criticisms of the 2014 model, I believe. I'm not sure, but I believe they went from a quad core back to a two core design, which got a lot of people all wound up, and non-user replaceable upgradable memory.
Which is why if you go on eBay and look for a Mac Mini, you will see that the 2014s go for whatever amount of money it is. And I think it's the 2011 or 2012 right. Mini 12. Goes for about 30% to 40% more money, whatever that number is. The older ones are more expensive because you can swap out the RAM, because you can swap out the drives, and all of that stuff's a lot easier in the previous model because they didn't solder everything to the board like they did with the air quote latest model. So I'm only disappointed in it. I'm glad they upgraded it. I'm glad that, you know, the Tim mails we saw about, like, we haven't forgotten about the Mini, we haven't forgotten about the Mac. I was excited to see that, but we should have seen this last year when we got, you know, new iPad Pros or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm going to take a different approach on that. I think it's going to be really easy to criticize the Mac Mini, and I think you're going to see a lot of articles today where people are going to say exactly that. And it's such an obvious and easy decision to criticize Apple. But look at it. I mean, you've got a 6-core processor with Turbo Boost to 4.1. You can put up to 64 gigabytes of
Well, I'm excited about it.
Gigabytes of RAM.
I'm glad it exists. I'm glad they upgraded it.
256 gigabytes of storage. I mean, it's just a really impressive computer, relatively speaking. And it's here now, and it's available. and it solves a lot of problems for a lot of people. And you got to just
I'm just sad we didn't get it a year ago, because it feels like it feels like this would have been last year's model, which maybe would have at that time made people pay a little more attention to the Mini itself and the specs, and feel a little bit like maybe this is what Apple meant about upgrading the Mac Pro. You know, we're going to give you the Mini, but in a beefier hardware. Right.
We can't impose our own schedule on Apple. I mean, you know, we create our own expectations, and Apple
doesn't
meet them, and then we complain. So,
well, we still don't have the charging mat. I still don't have new AirPods. You know, these are all, I mean, there's a lot of ways that I could criticize Apple. Like I said, I'm excited the Mini exists. I'm excited it got upgraded. I'm just sad. I am sad about the schedule, because I feel like they may have lost a lot of people who decided, you know, I can't in good conscience buy an air quote brand new 4-year old computer, and I'm not interested in an iMac, and so I have to go get something else. And you know, on the desktop end, I feel like there may have been some missed opportunity there. But Andrew, what do you think about the new Mini? Do you think this is going to get a lot of attention, or do you think it's going to just get a lot of yawns, and it's going to be one of those ways where Apple failed everybody? You know, oh, if they'd done it last year, like, oh, why are you upgrading this? And, you know, because they did it this year, like, oh, it's too late. And there was just like no good way for Apple to get to make this happen.
I think it might get some yawns, like you were saying. What I was personally hoping for was that they would introduce a completely new design, kind of how they did with the trash can Mac Pro. And now we've heard rumors about, oh, they're making this new design modularity that would be easier to combine them and swap them out. My idea was they would preview that kind of modular system with this Mac Mini. But
I would like that.
I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah.
A little bit better components, but that's it.
I think once iFixit gets one and we see the teardown of the new Mini, we'll find out how modular it is and how upgradable it is, because that was one of the things that was great about the old one. I did enjoy that very much. So we're going to go a little bit long today, because I want to talk to you about the new iPad Pro line and what that means for us. So Andrew, I want to ask you about that.
I am very excited about this iPad, and I'm going to start saving to get one.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I am entertaining the possibility of selling my baby iPad Pro, which I got last year, and seeing if there's some sort of trade-in situation, or, you know, how much I can get for it towards a new one. There's a couple of Apple authorized resellers where I live where I have the opportunity to do that sort of trade-in. John, how about you? Are you in the market for a new iPad?
I think so. I have a 2015 12.9-inch iPad Pro, the first one that came out that size, and it's pretty big. It doesn't make good use of the volume, and I'm really excited about this new 12.9-inch that is smaller and more compact, like holding light in your hands, Phil Schiller said, I think. And the small bezel and the design of it, and the support for the new pencil, and the way the pencil charges automatically and attaches with magnets. I mean, they've solved all sorts of problems in one fell swoop. It's just a whole leap forward, a quantum leap, and I'm really excited about it. I think I may get one.
So one thing that both Andrew and... Now, I want to point out for the record, I love my iPad, my current iPad Pro. I really love it. I do. But there's enough new stuff in this one that I feel like I said, I'm only entertaining the possibility. So if you want to buy my iPad Pro off of me, hit us up on the Twitter account.
Series 4, where you go is there's enough there that's going to make you make the leap.
Right. And one thing that both Andrew and I noticed in the pencil was there's a flat side now, so it won't roll off of stuff. Like, at the same time, I think both of us typed that, like, hey, one side is flat, it won't roll off the table anymore.
Did it look that way to you, or did it look hexagonal?
I only saw one flat side.
That's a good question, because at first I only saw one flat side, but then in one of the pictures, I could have sworn it looked a bit more hexagonal, like an actual pencil. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure.
So we're not sure how pencil shaped the new pencil is what we're saying. We'll have to watch later today to see if anybody, if there's any hands-on time at the event, and see if anybody there like reports back. We'll see what we can find out there. So it's at least two of us are probably getting them. I'm hoping, but I don't hold out a lot of hope, but you know, stranger things have happened. It's 2018. All bets are off. So John, what to you was the biggest change, like the biggest, I don't know, upgrade, leap forward, like the most notable thing about this new one? What do you think?
For me, it's the size, the 12 inch display, but a smaller bezel and less volume, less mass. I have my 12.9 inch in a case, and it's a monster in a case, which doubles the weight of it.
Yeah, it's probably bigger than my 13 inch laptop.
It is a handful. So much of a handful that I find myself often reaching for my 10S Max instead. That's, and the speed factor. And I bought my original iPad with not a whole lot of RAM. Not a whole lot of storage. So I think this is another opportunity for me to get a better big display.
Now, this is one of my complaints about the new iPad, is the amount of storage. And I'll tell you why. Because Apple still only gives you 5 gigabytes of storage with your iCloud account. So they're going to sell you a terabyte device, a device that will hold a terabyte of information, and then tell you that it needs to be backed up. And they don't really want you to use iTunes to do that anymore, so that you have a local backup on your computer, which you can't do if you buy solid-state machines. They don't generally, you know, like, a terabyte drive on that is not necessarily standard issue. And then, even then, like, you need extra space for, like, all of your own stuff on your computer.
Wait a minute.
But iCloud backup. No, John, they still give you five gigabytes on iCloud. Did you get your Bell?
I back up my iPads to iTunes, and I don't have a problem.
No, but in general,
and if you have a terabyte drive, it's going to take you years to fill it up.
I'm talking about in general. I'm painting with broad strokes. Most because lots of people are buying laptops. Very few people are buying desktop machines. When you buy a laptop machine, having more than a terabyte of flash storage in it is a rarity, or you've paid an extraordinary sum of money for that computer so that you can back up your iPad to it as well as have all your regular computer stuff on it. So I feel like Apple really needs to do something about iCloud, like, in my estimation. That's one of the things. Andrew, what do you think about the new iPad? What's the biggest standout to you?
Well, for one, I just want to go back a little and say, as I was saying before, the iCloud is the new hub now, not the Mac. So I think they really should beef up the storage options, because you know, it's you'll have enough room for backing up, like you said, a 1 terabyte drive. Mm-hmm. And
well, the thing that I wonder about right now is how everybody complained about a 16 gig iPhone and how it was like a personal affront that Apple would only offer you a phone with a 16 gigabytes of storage on it, and yet Apple only offers you 5 gigabytes of online storage to do this.
Services revenue, baby. Services revenue.
Yeah, but if you're offering people 16 for free or 32 for free, you could still make an awful lot of money off people, because nobody needs... nobody needs 64 gig anymore. They need 128 or 256 or whatever it is. So people are still going to have to pay for storage, but they need to do something about the gap there, I think.
Yeah.
It'd be nice, but...
because Apple doesn't talk about backing your stuff up to iTunes anymore. They don't talk about being able to plug your iOS devices into the side.
But you can still do it.
And do it. Yes, you can. But Apple doesn't point that out anymore, and you know, you're supposed to be backing all that stuff up online because the cloud, and you have an iCloud account.
I think the reason they do that is because average users are not sometimes very technical in that regard, mm-hmm. or they don't have a Mac to back up to. And so
right.
Apple's promoting the easiest thing to do, but they're
yes.
not deprecating it because they want to take it away from
no,
pro
no,
users.
No, 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 no. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying right. if I'm saying right. I'm saying we're going to give you 10 pounds of data, but we're only going to give you a 5-pound sack. And that doesn't fly with me. I don't like the discrepancy there, because the biggest thing about it is that what I have discovered in helping family members and stuff, you know, get their phones backing up to iCloud, is that there isn't anything very clear about, like, your storage is full. Like, every once in a while you get a badge on your phone that's like, you should turn on iCloud Photos, but then you do that, and then it's like, well, your iCloud storage is full. Well, what are you supposed to do? So they call me and they're like, I don't understand what's happening here. Well, Apple doesn't give you, you know, well, Apple gives you 5 gigabytes and your phone is 32 or whatever. And then they're like, well, why doesn't Apple give me 32? Like, if I'm supposed to be doing this backup online, you know, in the cloud, then how come my cloud isn't big enough? Like, this is a question I'm getting from people who are not technical people, who have never listened to an episode of any podcast I've ever done. So they, like, they're regular people. And, you know, it's a really good way to get a barometer on that kind of thing. And I feel like it's frustrating because it's not clear and it's not understood that, like, you know, your mail takes up part of that space. Your pictures take up part of that space. All of those things are eating away at that space. So in real life, you probably don't have all 5 of those gigabytes in order to back up. And I think that that's frustrating.
There's also the issue of the San Francisco conceit, where everybody has 256 megabits per second into their house.
Mm-hmm.
There are vast areas of the United States where people are living in rural or farmland areas or small cities.
Mm-hmm.
Or even medium cities, where the best they can do is a couple megabits per second.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to work out very well on iCloud storage with a
terabyte. And everybody's, and you know, unlimited data plans aren't really unlimited. And, you know, all of a sudden, like, you get one good backup of your 512 gigabyte iPad, yeah, and now yeah, you're, yeah, you know, all your network traffic is slow for the rest of your billing cycle. And that doesn't seem
absolutely
fair either. So yeah, that's my complaint about it. You... Yeah, coming soon to Mac Observer, Kelly's rant about the utter lack of iCloud storage if you're going to sell me a terabyte device. So the two things I noticed about the iPad, like my two biggest questions or noted things, are first of all, with the bezel that close to the, with the bezel being that narrow around the whole thing, I'm curious in real life what it's like to hold one of those and put your thumbs on it. Because to me, that seems like there's going to be a lot of accidental tapping as your thumb sort of creeps into the screen, because it seems like the bezel's really narrow. I know Apple does tons of usability studies on stuff like this. That's why the bezel was sort of crooked, you know, on the old ones, was because generally you hold it in a landscape fashion. And so they gave you a little extra space on what would, you know, on the home button side and opposite the home button side, so that you had a place to hold it with your thumbs. And so this bezel is even all the way around, and I'm curious how wide it is in real life to actually put your hands on. How does that feel? That was the first thing.
The case helps a lot.
Well, of course it does.
The case gives you a better grip.
Well, but yeah, a case also lets you prop it up on the counter while Netflix is playing, and you don't have to hold it in your hand.
Right.
So there's that too. The other thing I noticed about it is that they've finally gone USB-C for charging and presumably syncing. But it seems like Apple's working with USB-C people. I mean, the MacBook, the new MacBook Air is USB-C ports, which are USB-C shaped, but actually Thunderbolt. And the new iPads also have USB-C charging. So I'm interested to see where that ends up, because they also made a big show, it seemed like, about all the other stuff that you could connect your iPad to at the same time.
I also noticed during the keynote when they were showing that off that in some of the that video, they showed USB-C accessories directly plugged into it,
mm-hmm,
like a camera and a display.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that that might cut down on the amount of dongles we all have to carry.
That's sort of the hope. There, I know one of the things they do offer for it is an HDMI adapter. And I only know that because a friend of mine sent me a screenshot after he specced out the top model iPad with a keyboard and a pencil and an HDMI adapter. And you can buy a really nice computer for that amount of money. That's, apparently you are, because that was one of the things that I also noticed about the presentation was Tim talking about the iPad is such a great computer. It does all this stuff. It's such a great computer. And then I remember one of Apple's iPad ads recently was all about what's a computer. This was a little confusing message wise.
One we hated.
Yeah. Yes, it was kind of an aggravating ad to me. But the thing I'm interested in, and I'm going to ask each of you your take on this. I think that, because I sort of said this earlier, but I'm pretty sure that this new iPad Pro is like the MacBook Air of the lineup, like the old MacBook Air of the lineup. Your iPad Pro now, you know, if you add a keyboard to it or you add a pencil to it, is your satellite device. If you're going to be out for the short term, for an afternoon, maybe for a day or two, this is the computer you're going to take with you. Andrew, what do you think?
I agree. And I have high hopes that now that they have moved to USB-C, that we're going to start to see more Pro features in future iOS versions.
Interesting. And what do you want to see most in a new in iOS 13?
You know, one of the first things I thought of is I wonder if you could hook up in one of those eGPUs to the iPad, or can you? I don't know.
Oh. Well, after looking at NBA 2K, I'm not sure we need to, because, wow, that was a lot of graphics horsepower in an iPad.
Oh, yeah.
I know it was the dubs, but it looked great. Yeah. I'm never going to say a nice thing about the dubs. I live in Portland. That's never going to happen. I'm Rip City till I die. John, what about you?
Yeah, I agree with Andrew. I think there is a definite psychological shift in Apple's separation of powers between the two systems, and they're really pouring the coals on with the iPads.
Mm-hmm.
Which could explain a little bit about the Mac Mini, too, because there's only so much engineering talent to go around, so much time and energy, so many resources. So maybe that's having an effect.
Well, I guess we'll find out. More will become clear. I believe they said November 7th is when everything shows up in store. So I don't know if there's going to be floor models or not before that, but please feel free to let us know. I'm curious about your thoughts. You can get us on Twitter at TMO Daily, and you can email us at observations@macobserver.com. And we're going to have lots more to say about the wrap-up, about the Apple event this morning. I'm sure you will get to hear all of it when we talk to you next time. And until then, be excellent to each other.